welcome back to Kidman Talk. This is your host, Pastor Carl Bastian, a.k.a. the Kidologist, coming to you from Kidology.org, where for over 25 years, our mission has been to equip and encourage you in your ministry to kids. Hey, I've got a fun show planned for you today. I'm looking forward to it very much. Gonna share one of the craziest stories I don't think I've ever told before that happened to me in the process of discipling a young boy. Crazy story, stick around for that. I also gonna share some real practical tips for calling references on your volunteers. I've got something I wanna share with you to encourage you right now, today. It might be a word that God has for you. Also gonna share with you some of the new resources on Kidology. I do that briefly because the point of this podcast is not to promote, it's to equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. So wherever you're at, sit back, relax, get comfortable. You might be watching this on Facebook or YouTube or Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. Somehow it ended up on Google. I think they just stole the RSS feed. I'm cool with that. I'm glad it's available in as many places as possible. So let's get to it and let's talk Kidman today. And I hope it's going to be a great encouragement to you as we do so. Now, really quick, a little bit of housekeeping. We had some folks that let us know that they were not getting the podcast on Apple Podcasts. We finally looked into it, and lo and behold, it had not been being pushed out to Apple for quite a few episodes. We got that fixed this week. Shout out to Aaron for getting that fixed for us, our programmer. And we're glad to be back on Apple Podcasts. But of course, it's been available in all the other places as well. And let me always say, please do hit that subscribe button, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Apple Podcasts, if it's Facebook, make sure you're in our Facebook group. I know there's lots of Kidology or a lot of kids ministry Facebook groups, but Kidology's is unique because not only can you ask any general questions that you might want to ask about your children's ministry, it's also the place to find out what's going on new in Kidology, and of course to get some personal input and help from me personally, although I'm involved in other groups as well. I love networking. I love sharing ideas, and I love learning from those places as well. Well, today, I first off just want to thank those of you who joined Kidology. You are supporting our nonprofit ministry. Kidology's nonprofit. We have a lousy business model right on the page where you join very affordably. There's also a link for scholarships. So many people who are overseas, they're in small churches, they're students, they're missionaries, they fill out that scholarship form, and we give them Kidology either as a gift or for whatever donation they can afford. So for those of you who can, you've got a ministry budget, or you'd sacrificially give to support our ministry, thank you. I just want to give a couple of shout outs. Just this week, we had Julie in Gainesburg, Georgia, to support our ministry. Tamara in Front, Texas. That's not to be confused with the back of Texas. It's Front, Texas. Actually, I think it was Frost. I think that's a typo I have there, if I remember right. And Andrea in Los Angeles, to Dana in Martinsburg, West Virginia. How's that for opposite coast? And Judy, my old town stomping grounds in Orland Park, Illinois. Thank you for joining and becoming All Access members. Now, I understand not everyone that joins is being philanthropist. Okay, maybe I'll take that out in the editing. Maybe I won't. But not everyone that joins Kidology is doing it because they think of themselves as donating. They want access to the IT Bible curriculum, which is completely free for members. They want recruiting tools. They want training videos for their volunteers. They want all the resources that have been growing for 25 years. But I want you to know that even if you're joining for what you can gain from the website, your joining is also supporting us. Because we have some folks that join and they already have another curriculum they use. Maybe they use Orange, maybe they use Go or Grow or something else. But they join to support our ministry and, of course, to benefit from all the resources on the site. So thank you for that. Today, I've got a couple of things lined up for you. I'm really enjoying it. I can't wait to tell you the story about a young boy in my ministry. The question he asked me that the answer was crazy, and it resulted in something even crazier. So I can't wait to tell you that story. But first of all, let me just drop really quick what we have new on Kidology right now. Now, some of you are listening to this months, maybe years in the future. The resources are still there, but we just dropped our Table Talker for the month of September, and it's on the topic of holiness. And this is a very simple resource. We even provide it in a mobile version for those who aren't meeting in person, but it's just a way to get families to make meals matter, to gather on the table. There's discussion questions, there's a game, there's a challenge every month, and this is, I believe, the 33rd Table Talker. It's over 30, and I recently was printing them all out, and I was just overcome with just appreciation for friends that helped contribute to it, to just the hard work that's gone into them and the impact they've had in families right around mealtime. Also, Bible Blockbusters is brand new. You can go to kidology.org/Bible Blockbusters, and it's a really fun series. I'm in the middle of it. It's movie themed. It's stories of Genesis, involves green screen and a lot of fun things, and it touches the culture of kids with references to their favorite movies and things. So you can check that out. And also, kind of under the radar, I just dropped two complete training series, one on magic and one on puppets. Four-part video series. I originally filmed these for a master class, but I decided, hey, I'm just going to share them with our All Access members. So you can either go to kidology.org/magic-how-to or puppet-how-to, and you can have access to all those videos. And this is in addition to the current series that my good buddy Brett Belloc is doing with the balloon training. And you can go to /balloon-how-to, and you can learn to make some amazing balloons. And Brett walks you through from beginner all the way to some pretty cool balloon sculptures that you can make for your kids, enhance your teaching, or just your relational ministry. So those things are new. So the first thing I want to talk about a little bit today, I'm a full-time kids pastor. I'm engaged in the trenches. So a lot of times what I'm sharing are things that I'm just currently doing. And right now we've been on a big recruiting push because we're reopening. I mean, we've been reopened, but now as the culture at large is reopening, more people are comfortable coming back to church. Our attendance has been spiking, and yet the return of volunteers has not matched that. And so it's been time to recruit some of these new folks. We've also had a lot of our great volunteers move away, and we wish them well, but we miss them because they were part of our core. And so what I've started doing, I'm going to give away one of my little secrets here. Maybe no one at my church is watching. I've been texting every single family that visits on a Sunday morning. And I do a little copy and paste, but then I customize it to say with their names and basically just hope you had a great Sunday. I hope, in their kid's name, had a wonderful experience. We're excited about what God's doing in our church. We're growing, and we really need to grow our volunteers. And in one Sunday, I even mentioned last Sunday, we were fully staffed, but at the minimum, with a few people serving both services. So we could really use you. I don't like the help, you know, we're desperate feeling, but sometimes you need to at least communicate that there is a need, and the need is real. And so kind of walking that line between sounding desperate and just saying, hey, we actually do need you. Well, I've gotten tons of replies, and I do it right from my personal phone. I don't do it through Planning Center or through Reminder or any of these other tools that are out there, because if they reply, I want it to come straight to me. So I put their number in. I can tell who hasn't replied because it's just a number in the text. But once they reply, I look up that number and I add them to my phone. And of course, there's a whole process of getting them through the background check and the application process and the online on-ramping videos and all of that. And I cover that in other videos, but it's been really exciting. But one of the things that I've needed to do a lot of in the last 2 weeks is calling references. So I just want to speak to that really briefly. First of all, do it. If you ask for references, you need to call the references. What does it look like to someone if they put down two references, they text or call those friends and say, hey, I want to serve in the kids ministry. I put you down as a reference, so you might be hearing from our kids pastor's name's Carl. And then I never call. You know, what that communicates, because they'll check back, hey, did Carl call, or what'd you tell him, you know? And they go, oh, you never called. It says that I don't really care who's serving with my kids. It's not important to me. I'm just grabbing bodies and throwing them in with the rooms. When you call a reference, it shows you really do care who's in there. Obviously, I know I've made the same excuse. Well, they're putting down people, of course, that are going to say good things about them. They're not going to put down a boss who fired them or whatever. So, but yes, you do learn more about them. So I call, and I'll ask some questions, but here's a couple of tips that I do. Number one, keep it short. People are nervous to call back or to answer the phone. They didn't recognize the number. And so right away, one of the first things I say is, Well, first introduce myself. Hey, I'm Carl. I'm the kids pastor at High Point Church in Aurora, Colorado. And so-and-so gave me your name as a reference because they have applied to serve in our kids ministry. I only need about a minute or two of your time. You're welcome to share longer if you'd like, but I want you to know this will be a really quick call. So I want to address their nervousness, like, oh my gosh, I answered this, but I just put food on the table or whatever. I got to change the laundry in the machine or whatever. I paused my movie. You don't know what's going on the other end. And you want to make sure that you right away address, hey, this is going to be quick, all right? Now, they may want to just share more and more. If they got concerns, they may want to share more and more. But you're letting them know that you're only asking for a minute or two tops. So when you call, you start out, introduce yourself, your name, your title, where you're calling from, and why you're calling. The sooner you drop the applicant's name, the quicker they relax because, oh, okay, I know that person. I don't know you. You're a stranger, but I know the person that you're calling about. Be really friendly. If you can, make some kind of casual, small connection with them. It could be a comment on their name. It could be where they're from. Hey, I vacationed there once. It's a beautiful place. Or I'm from there. Or you don't want to get into a whole rabbit trail conversation, but something that just makes a little bit of a relational connection while you're on the phone. And then I ask for, give me a 30-second reference. Just tell me why you believe that this person would be great to serve with the children in our church as a part of our children's ministry. Now, I always mention the children. I don't say in our church, in our children's ministry. I say serving with our children. Why? That adds a little more gravity, a little more weight to it. If they have any sensitivity or any, I should say, hesitancy to this person serving with children, if you just say serving in our church, serving in our ministry, that doesn't communicate the gravity of, you know, I'm asking you because I'm entrusting this person to be in a room with children. So just by saying, hey, what would you say in just 30 seconds to, if you would recommend this person to work with the children in our children's ministry? Or if you have any concerns, please feel free with confidentiality and any concerns that you might have. And then let them talk. And they'll usually be very positive. They're usually honored that they were chosen as a reference. And listen to that reference. If they have any concerns and you feel like you need to talk more, hey, can I have a couple more minutes of your time? I just want to explore this a little deeper. You keep asking for that permission so that they never feel trapped on the phone. When you're done, make sure you thank them sincerely for their time, for answering the phone. That's a legit thing to say. Thank you for answering the phone when you didn't recognize the number, because I sometimes go, oh, I don't know who this is. They can leave a message if it's important, right? So just acknowledge that, thank them sincerely, and say, we can't wait to get to know so-and-so as they become a part of our children's ministry. And the reason you say that is when that person asks, they're going to say, oh, he was such a nice guy, and he's super excited about having you in the kids ministry. So there's going to be a reporting back that goes on outside of your observation, and you want that to be as positive as popular. And then be done. Know when to end it, right? So you got to know when to fold it, know when to walk away, right? Because the call is done. They've fulfilled their obligation. You've fulfilled your obligation. Wish them well. And if they've already mentioned they're about to have dinner or something, say, oh, have a great meal. Then they know you were listening to them, all right? Now, if you get a voicemail, which is over 50% of the time, how do you handle a voicemail? How do you get them to want to call back when you've done a reference call? Number one, same thing, start out, hi, my name is Pastor Carl, and sound upbeat, sound friendly, all right? Don't sound like you're reading a script, but you wanna be upbeat. Hey, my name is Pastor Carl, I'm the children's pastor at a church called High Point. Remember, you're wording it in a way like they have no clue who you are. At a church called High Point Church, it's in Aurora, Colorado, and so-and-so has applied to serve with the children in our children's ministry, and they put you as one of their references. So you must be a good friend. And I'm wondering if I can have just 1 minute, 2 minutes tops of your time just to hear from you how you think they fit as a volunteer working with children in a church setting. And of course, if you have any concerns, I'd love for you to share those with me confidentially. Here's my number and here's a key. Always give it twice. And always say you're going to give it twice. Isn't it frustrating when you're trying to get down a number and they only say it once? And on some machines, you have to replay the whole message over and over. I'm a visual learner and a kinesthetic learner and only third auditory learner. That means I cannot memorize phone numbers the first time I hear them. I hate commercials that don't give the number twice. So I've learned is in sensitivity to people like me, I say, hey, I'm going to give you my number twice. And then I say, 630, blah, blah, blah. I get my phone number. And then I say, and again, that is, and I say it again. Another trick is at the very beginning of the call, when you say, hey, this is Pastor Carl. I'm a kids pastor, High Point Church, and I'm calling about so-and-so who's applied to be in our kids ministry. My phone number, and I'm going to give it to you again at the end. My phone number is 630, blah, blah, blah. And you say, but when you say, I'll say it again at the end, if they only caught half the phone number, instead of them being frustrated the whole rest of your message, they're like, oh, he's going to give it again. And then when you get to the end of the message, you say, and again, I look forward to talking to you. My phone number is 630, blah, blah, blah. You give the phone number and you say, I'm so thankful for you being willing just to give me 1-2 minutes tops of your time at your earliest convenience. And then I tag on, and a text reference is welcome too. Because some people don't want to call you, but they'll text me something. And if I feel like the text is satisfactory, I'll thank them on text and be done. Or I may read the text and then give them a call, because guess what? They've got their phone in their hand and they're available, all right? So I just want to give you a little quick feedback there. The next thing I want to encourage you in is something I would like to call the power of now, right now. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, I want you to think about the moment you're in right now. Well, I'm so honored and delighted that right now you are taking a little time to watch or listen to my podcast. Thank you. You're investing in yourself and you're seeking a little break. I don't know where now is for you. You might be in your car. You might be at your desk. You might be at home. You might be at a red light risking your life listening, hopefully listening, not watching my podcast. You know, you may be killing time in a waiting room. It doesn't matter. Now is so important. You know, Brother Lawrence wrote a book many years ago. It's out of print, so it's like dirt cheap to print. Anyone can print it. It's called Practicing the Presence of God, and it's about being in the now. So often in ministry, and I'll tell you what, I love vision. I've got stuff on Kidology about vision. Vision is great. Without vision, the people perish. Vision's what advances the ministry. Vision is seeing what doesn't not yet exist and working to make it exist. Vision is great, but sometimes, and I've been guilty of this, vision robs us of the present. Now, I don't know if you've watched Kung Fu Panda. I love Kung Fu Panda. Those movies are great. And I love the first one especially because I love Oogway, Master Oogway, and the wisdom that he shared. And one of his quotes I love. Now, I'm sure it got stolen from somewhere else. I Googled this quote and I saw it attributed to about 6 different people. I don't know if one of them is the original, or they're all just stealing it from each other, or maybe it's been around for hundreds of years and no one knows who said it first, but maybe you'll recognize this as I read it. Master Oogway said to Panda, I'm blanking on his name now. How can I blank on his name? I hate when I'm recording because then it's so obvious that I got stuck. It'll come to me. Anyway, he said to his student, yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. And it was Poe. I knew it would come back to me. So those are such powerful words because yesterday's history, even the Apostle Paul said, forgetting what is behind, I press on toward what is ahead, right? History can hurt us in many ways. A great history can hurt us because we're constantly reminiscing about the good old days, right? I had a youth pastor who would not allow us to share a word from the Lord if it was more than a week old. He said, if you're sharing some amazing insight you got into scripture or some insight that God gave you and he gave it to you a month ago, he said, he called it rotten fruit. He said, the reason God calls spiritual fruit fruit, which is fruit, after about a week, it smells, it's rotten, it's trash. So he said, it was great a month ago, it was great last year, but what's God doing in your life right now? Well, the same is true with ministry. We can always be looking back at the good old days and the great days, and maybe things have declined, maybe we don't have the same numbers or whatever, and so we feel discouraged, but God hasn't called us to always be on a trajectory that's going up. Do you know that? That's a lie that comes from the business world, all right? What God's called us to is faithfulness right here, right now, at whatever your hand is given to do it as unto the Lord, all right? So we need to live in the now, all right? So the future's a mystery. We don't know what the future will be. We don't even know if we'll have a future, right? And so sometimes that can cripple us from being in the present. And I love that. It's a gift. And that's why it's called the present. So I'm going to walk really quickly through a little acronym. You know, I love acronyms. I made an acronym for acronym, which is a crazy riddle of nuggets yielding meaning. And I've rattled off all my other acronyms. I won't do it on this podcast. But let's just take the word present and let's just quickly look through seven things we can do to live in the now. And I'm going to fly through them, all right? The first one is people. All right, to live in the now, take some time. You might even want to carve some time out today or pull over or turn off a TV or whatever it is and just take some time and think about the people that are in your life. Just hit the pause button. There's another P for you. To just pause and focus on people. Maybe even make a list on a piece of paper. Who are the people in my life? Obviously, you may have a spouse. You may have children. You may have coworkers. You may have friends. And maybe you need to spend some time with them. Maybe you need to send a little text reminder. In fact, one of my buddies, Where's my phone? I have a friend named Josh Denhart. And years ago, I messaged him during a workshop as I talked about something fun that I like to do with my friends. And I learned this from my buddy Stanley Mears, but I'm gonna tag Josh here. And here's the way you do it. You take Josh, you find him in your phone. Here, Josh's phone number is, I'm just kidding, I can't give away his phone number. But what you do is you bring them up in your text and then you hit the little Siri button and you say gibberish. All right, so I'm gonna do it right now. Here we go. Then you hit stop. Now, no, I was not speaking in tongues. Here's what Siri thinks I said. She tries her best. It says, Babalu to give me hookah bar, he little bit chicky poo poo Obama. Hey, Obama made it in here. So then you hit send. All right. And what that does is it lets them know that you're thinking about them. This is some fun that I do with my friends. I've got about a dozen friends that I do Siri roulette with, and it's a lot of fun. If he does it back, he'll make the podcast, and I'll read you his reply. So that's what we do. I just send out a quick little Siri roulette. I just maybe send an encouraging note, maybe an encouraging text or something, just to let them know, hey, I'm thinking of you. I care about you. Just think about the people in your life. The next is the R, the resources. Oh man, that's a challenge in kids ministry, right? We always wish we had more resources. But sometimes we just have to say, God, what can I do with what you've given me now? And I can tell you, I've built things out of cardboard. I've done some pretty creative things. And it's just a matter of saying, yes, if more would be great, but God, what are you providing for me now? Because God always gives you enough resources for what he's asking you to do. He does. You're never short from what God's asked you to do. All right, the E is encouragement, all right? Just think about who can I encourage, all right? And that's probably a little bit of overlap with people, but just to pause, to live in the now and view that people are not resources. People are not individuals that do things for you. They do things with you and they need encouragement, all right? In fact, I just mentioned Josh. I watched his podcast this morning where he talked about people being more than just a name on a roster, all right? And how we need to minister to those. And he was interviewing someone. I forget who it was, or I would drop her name as well. The S is supplication. One of the best ways to live in prayer or live in the present is to have a life of prayer. Sometimes we just need to stop. If you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, you need to pull over and you just need to pray. All right. I've talked other times, many times, about my concept of giving it back to God. If you're getting stressed over your ministry, I won't say it's a sin, but it's an insult to God because you're saying that God can't handle your current situation. And so sometimes that stress is a signal that we have taken on responsibility that actually belongs to God. And so prayer is the way we give those things back to God. Here's the volunteer needs I have. Here's the resource needs I have. Here's the conflict that I'm in. You know, here's what's making me lose sleep at night. Give those things to God in prayer and just be in the moment and know right now I'm where God wants me. I have the resources God's provided. I have the people that God's provided. And right now, things are good. Could they get better? Sure. Could they get worse? Sure. But right now, I'm okay. And anytime you find yourself in a stressful situation, sometimes you really just have to give it to God in prayer. We call that the big word for prayer, supplication, right? We don't use that in kids' church a lot. The E, I got a second E here, is escape. Let me just tell you, sometimes you got to take a break. It might be getting out of the office and going to a park. It might be getting a Subway sandwich and going to a park and just eating. It might be leaving your phone in the office and, oops, I forgot my phone. Sorry, I wasn't accessible, but I was only gone for an hour. you might need to escape. Now, you might need a bigger escape. That's why I take a group of men to Yosemite for our Yosemite Summit. Looking forward to doing that again. We had to take a break for 2020. But sometimes you need a big escape. Plan that escape. Put it on your calendar. All right, schedule that day off, that date night, that family day, or solo day. Schedule that escape. You might need it today. It might be that urgent. But if it's on the calendar, you know, like I've got a buddy I go backpacking with, and he's going through some things, life's stressful, and I'm like, dude, we got to get our next backpacking trip just on the calendar. I don't care if it's 6 months or a year out. We just got to get it on the calendar, because just looking forward to that and researching hikes and planning it and all that, it's a bit of an escape even during busy days, because I can think about that escape that I get to look forward to. The N is notice now. And what I mean by notice now is it's not just living it now, it's noticing things that when we're going too fast, we miss. It might be a resource we have that we're not even using. It might be a person in our ministry who's capable of more, right? We need to ask God, and I promise you, if you say, God, what am I missing? What have I failed to notice? And you open the eyes of your mind and your heart, God's going to show you something that maybe you've been going so fast, or you've just been so stressed out, you have missed something that's right there that God already gave you. The last one is time. We need to take time to enjoy the moment, whether it's escaping, whether it's writing a note of encouragement. There's no secret that we got to take time to spend with God. All right. You know, Jesus in Matthew 1:35 says he got up very early in the morning while it was still dark, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Hey, I'll link in the show notes a sermon I did last fall called Get Up, Get Away, Get Alone, where I unpack that one verse with a lot of practical help. And I teach something called Odium Sanctum. It's a Latin word, and I'm not going to tell you what it means because I want you to watch that sermon, which I will put in the show notes. All right. So that's it. I just want to encourage you today to take some time to appreciate now. Focus on people that you have now, resources you have now. Encourage someone. Spend some time in supplication, which of course is prayer. Plan an escape or just take an escape. All right. Notice, ask God to show you what you're missing, and take some time. Because now will be then before you know it. And you want to make sure you embrace the now that God is giving you. All right, I'm about to get to my story about the craziest thing that happened in discipleship. Really funny story. I love sharing it. I don't share it publicly too much because I don't want to embarrass the kid that it happened to. And I'm going to change his name to protect the guilty or the innocent. I think I'm more the guilty in this story. But real quick, I want to tell you about a resource on Kidology that's free to all access members that you may not be aware of. You can go to kidology.org/job-descriptions, all right? This is a big part of recruiting. We have this on our check-in counter. And basically, it has, you know, our first impressions, hosts and greeters. What's the difference between a host and a greeter? It's got our early childhood teaching team, our parent partners, right? I've even got one about our security team and early childhood nursery team. Some people just want to serve in nursery. We consider it part of early childhood, but they're just looking for that word nursery because they just want to hold babies, and we love those people. All right, and for my outpost, I've got the elementary, I've got the outpost trail guide, and our trailblazer teams, and it goes through a description. All right, I'm going to hold this up to the screen. I don't know if you can see it, but it goes through description, which is just a basic description, the duration, how long they expect to serve and how often, then duties, where you just briefly describe what does this person do, and then details is a spot for just a little more extra detail, and then, of course, at the bottom, it says if you want to join, here's the website and email to be a part of our children's ministry. I want to make sure you knew that the templates in multiple different colors is available for free for all access members. You just go to kidology.org/job-descriptions, and you will find this. If you don't want to join or you're not a member, you can purchase it in the store, but the best deal always is to be an all-access member, because in fact, if you go to /recruiting tools, you'll see 12 different recruiting tools like this that can help you in adding to your ministry team. All right, I've been teasing it. What is this crazy story? Well, as you know, I wrote the Awesome Adventure Discipleship book. You can go to kidology.org/awesomeadventure. It's 12 lessons that go through the basics of the Christian faith. And I love nothing more than taking kids through this. In fact, here at my church, in our next small group session, I'll be leading a Monday night small group for a parent and a kid to go through this together. We're going to do 9 weeks of it in the small group because it's a 9-week session. And then the parents are going to finish it on their own because they will have learned how to do it through the small group experience. So I was meeting with a young boy, and I'm going to change his name. Oh, I got to make up a name for him. What am I going to call him? I want a really unique name. Let's call him why is it so hard to make up a name? Because I have the real kid in my mind and I'm thinking his name. I'm going to say Danny. I'm going to go with the same first letter so that hopefully that will help me out. So Danny and I are discipling. He's an inner city kid, comes from a single family home, but he's on fire for God. He's memorizing the Bible verses. He's bringing his Bible to church. He's getting really serious about God. And so I identified him as a kid that I need to disciple. I need to pour into him a little extra. So we're meeting every week, and we're going through the lessons. And we got to the lesson that's about heaven. It's about eternal rewards, all right? Awesome Rewards is the name of that chapter. And Devin asked me a question that I did not know the answer to. Now, that's embarrassing when you're a pastor, right? But I'm always telling the kids, pastors don't know everything. I'm constantly learning. That's why I keep reading my Bible. It's why I keep coming to church and going to sermons and reading books and things. He asked me a question that I wonder if you even know the answer. He says, Pastor Carl, oops, I'm trying to see here if that was Josh texting back. It wasn't. Pastor Carl, does the Bible say that hell is dark? I said, well, I think it does. Let's see what the Bible says about that. So we did a little Bible search, and we came up with where it says in the Bible about the darkness in hell. And then he says, Pastor Carl, is it true that there's fire in hell, the lake of fire? I said, well, let's look it up. So we got our Bibles open, and we opened it up, and we found where the flames of hell were described. And I don't like talking about hell. You know, no one does. We want to focus on heaven and Jesus, right? But, you know, hell's a very real place. And he thinks about it, and I'm wondering what's going on in his head. And he says, well, Pastor Carl, how can it be dark in hell if there's fire? Because the fire emits light. I said, I do not know, Danny. I have no idea how that is possible. But I tell you what, I'm going to try and find out. I'm going to ask around and see if I can learn how that might be possible. So I was on a mission. I tell you what, I took it to pastoral staff meeting. I asked all the pastors the same way he did. Is it true that hell's dark? Yes. Is it true there's fire in hell? Yes. How's that possible when fire emits light? And they all were stumped. These are pastors, right, with seminary degrees. So I started asking everyone I knew. I'd be at our midweek club, Sunday morning, Sunday school teacher, strangers on the street. Okay, I didn't ask strangers on the street, but I'm asking everyone because I want an answer to give back to Devin. I don't care if it's the correct answer. I just want to give him a answer, you know, something that might shed some light on it. Well, I got my answer from the least expected source. It was one of my volunteers who was not theologically trained, but he loved Jesus and he helped out in our kids' ministry. And he says to me, well, Pastor Carl, the only thing I can think of is, you know, I'm a race car driver and mechanic. He actually designed race cars. And he said, you know, sometimes a race car can actually catch on fire on the track, and we don't even know it's on fire because we can't see the flames. And so we have to have sensors, and the pilots when they're going fast, right? But the driver may not even know he's on fire because the flames are invisible. I said, what kind of flames? He says, well, if the car runs on an alcohol-based fuel, because alcohol burns invisible. He says, try it. Just go buy some alcohol and light it on fire, and you put your hand over it. So I was intrigued. So I went and bought me a little container of alcohol, and then I had a chessboard that was marble, and I put a poster putty ring on there. I poured some alcohol in the middle, and sure enough, I lit it, and it looked like nothing was happening except that the alcohol was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And as I ran my hand over that place, ow, I could feel the flame. So I was so excited. The next week I met with Danny and said, hey, I might have an answer. I don't know if it's true, but it at least shows that it's not impossible for there to be fire in darkness. And so I had the bottle. I took the label off because I didn't want him to know what liquid it was. I just said, I have a special liquid. I don't want to tell you what it is. So I did the whole experiment. He put his hands over it. He pulled back. He was in awe that there was this invisible fire. Well, he kept bugging me and bugging me to tell him what the chemical was. And at some point I gave in, partly because I trusted him, partly because I wanted him to know this was real and I had not concocted something. And so I told him, I said, well, it's alcohol, but please don't go home and do this because I don't want you to blow, you know, your house up or catch your house on fire. Well, about 2 weeks later, I get a call from Danny's mom. And she says, can you explain to me why Danny would be lighting alcohol in our house? It's like, oh no, I told him not to do it. And so I explained it all to her, and she says, she wasn't upset at all, but she said, well, I got to tell you what God did with that. She said, I'm a single mom. What you might not know is that Danny's father, my husband, is in jail, and it's because of drinking violence-related charges, abuse. And he said, Danny gets to visit him about once a month, gets to go in and talk to him. And on our last visit, he went in and he said, Dad, when you get out of here, you need to never touch alcohol again. And his dad said, I'm a new man. I won't do it. And he says, well, I got to tell you why. Because the Bible says that hell is a place of darkness. And it also says that hell's got flames. And you might be wondering, even though no one ever has before, Danny, I don't think, you might be wondering, how could there be fire and darkness in hell? It's because of all the alcohol. Alcohol is evil. I think he scared his dad. He got his dad to start reading his Bible. And when he got out of prison, he returned to the home, and he was a new guy. And that was because of the Lord and him getting into the Word. And a lot of that had to do with Danny. Now, I'm happy to say Danny is now in ministry. He's ordained and he's doing ministry. And we're friends on Facebook and we keep in touch. He's now a full-blown adult. And that was such a great story. I just wanted to encourage you with that. You know, kids ask us tough questions. We don't always have the answers, but you know what? If we do our best to give the right answer, best we can, God can take that and God can use it, and he can do amazing things that we would not even be able to predict in any way. So, I just messed up my little music intro. There we go. That God would never be able to predict. That we could never predict what God's going to do. Well, hey, thanks for joining me today for Kidman Talk 161. Make sure you're subscribed wherever you're watching this. It really helps us out with promotion and support. If you'll just subscribe on Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, I've got a channel. Kidology's got a channel. Make sure you subscribe to both of them. I put personal and ministry things on that one. Kidology, of course, hosts this and other things. Make sure you're getting our newsletter. If you're not, go to kidology.org/newsletter. Make sure you sign up. But the number one way you can support this ministry is by joining, by becoming a member of Kidology. Just go to kidology.org/join. It explains there all about it. And I can't wait to see you next time.